We have a visit this week from Mr. Bojangles and his rain dancing shoes, also known as Wyndham Town Supervisor Thomas Hoyt. Mr. Hoyt, welcome aboard.
How are you, Michael?
All that rain dancing you did, you getting this rain up there like I'm getting it down here in Cornwallville?
Yeah, the other day we had like 3.5 inches. It was hard to see where it even went to.
Uh-huh.
And it's raining right along right now on Monday afternoon as we're pre-recording this thing.
This is what you call a drencher right here.
It's good. It's well overdue.
Yeah. Now, you can look outside your window and see the lake, so you really can't see a difference yet?
It did come up a little bit from midweek.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, there's still a lot of dirt showing.
And the creek's still dry?
Pretty dry.
So it's going to take a lot more than this, but at least this is a start. Maybe when it starts flowing off the mountains, we'll be back swimming and riding in them little boats over at the park.
Well, and it's still the good time of the year for tomatoes and pumpkins and all the good stuff you get in the fall of the year.
Now, what's the deal with fishing in that lake? Did you guys ever stock that again?
We've stocked it numerous times, and the Green County Federation stocks it in the fall, and they've asked permission to come back up this fall and stock it again. We've given them permission, so they'll be in, I believe, after Columbus Day, and they'll do a fall stocking of brown trout.
And how was the park over the weekend, Labor Day weekend?
It was busy. There was a party there yesterday, and Saturday there was also something going on over there, so they had quite a few people.
Now, some people may not know, some people may, that you actually grew up right there. So this park has been part of your life since before you were a kid. I mean, in your family.
Yeah, it was my grandfather's farm where the park is actually the baseball field and the pavilion.
Mm-hmm.
And the swim area was Bob Newcomb's and Howard Drum's. But the rest of the park was my grandfather's property.
I'll be darned. Yeah, so it's near and dear to you for sure. So the reason we talk to you every other week is that the town board has its meeting every 2 weeks. You have your meeting this Thursday night, and there's something rather important on the agenda. You guys are going to get your first official look at a potential, very important word, because nothing is definite, but a potential noise law.
The advisory committee that was established after the comprehensive plan met numerous times, and they discussed noise limits within the town. And like I've been preaching for the last couple of times we've spoken, or anyone in the public, it's not the noise, it's the time of day of the noise. So there'll be a draft proposed to see if the town board wants to pursue it for a public hearing or just table it. But it's all crafted around the time of day, how early you can start making noise, and how late in the evening you can make noise. There's also provisions built into it that someone could file for an exemption. There are things that you don't have to abide by within the law, things that make pay the bills to keep the lights on in the town.
Yeah, now the town of Jewett has a noise law like this, and there's a clause or whatever. They would have a festival up there every year. They'd had it for years, and each year the person comes and applies for a special permit, and the town usually gives it, and people accept it. It's a one-night deal, and okay, so that kind of thing is written into the law.
In the proposed law.
Proposed. Let's make sure we emphasize that.
Correct. That's written in there that anyone can ask for an exemption for a special event.
We're not going to discuss it in detail now, but perhaps the next time, because officially the board hasn't seen it. Obviously, you guys have been, you know, hearing about this and talking about it informally. So we won't go into too much detail, but the meeting is Thursday night at 7 o'clock. This will be officially presented to the board for the beginning of what could become a law, or maybe it won't.
Right, and like I say, it's pretty much down the center of the road.
Mm-hmm.
It's not crazy. We're not proposing to roll the streets up at 7 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't want the streets going on to 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning as well. There's a limit at the property line. So if you have a piece of property, indoors or outdoors, and you can keep your noise on your property, you can let it go to 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. You just can't disturb the lady down the road with three kids trying to sleep at midnight because you decided you wanted to party longer than everybody else in the neighborhood.
Yeah, sure. Now, we've talked about this before. I've written about it many times in the newspaper because they had serious issues up in the town of Jewett with some rental properties. And in the long run, you know, physically trespassing, somebody can kick you off your land just for walking on it. But if their noise is coming into your house, I guess you don't call that trespassing technically, but there's no difference. If they're in your house, they're in your house.
So, I think it's a generous decibel level at the property line.
Mm-hmm.
So someone can still sit on their deck and play their stereo to a certain time at night and even beyond that, but it's got to be at a good neighbor level.
I hear you. All right, so we're talking with Wyndham Supervisor Tom Hoyt. The town board is having a meeting this week where a very, very preliminary, just sort of on paper, really, just to look at potential law regarding noise. All right, anything else on the agenda of that magnitude?
Not quite there yet. There may be, may not be. You know, we're always full of surprises. But, you know, the other big thing that's going on in town is, you know, we're getting ready for the budget cycle again.
Oh,
and,
man.
Health insurance is going up right around 7%, which is up, but it's not as much as I feared it was going to be up.
Mm-hmm.
State retirement is going to be crazy this coming year. We'll have to buckle down for that one. And we got the new adventure with the ambulance district starting up, so that'll be coming out of the town budget. So your town side will go down. But then you'll have a new tax with the ambulance. It's going to be a wash, but it's going to be something different that people are going to see on their tax bill, and there'll be a lot of questions about it.
So when we get closer to budget, as far as you guys coming up with the preliminary, we'll talk more about those details. So people might not be so surprised when they do see it.
Every year we do the exercise, and some years are painful, and some years aren't as painful.
Another thing now, they had some kind of rally over in Columbia County regarding a shortage of personnel over there, and a lot of discussion about why that's the case. Are they just not paying these folks enough? How is that impacting Wyndham's ambulance? I hear there's a lot of delays at the hospitals and things like that.
Oh, the delays are terrible. They're lack of staff, people are on vacation, people refuse to take the vaccination, so they moved on to a different profession. So staffing's huge at the hospital, becomes a trickle-down to us. There's times that the CMH is on a two-hour diversion, or they advertise that you're going to sit in the parking lot for an hour or two before you're even going to be able to unload your patient. Sometimes they're off for 24 hours. Trickles right down into City of Kingston's Hospital, Albany Med, St. Peter's. You know, we get an alert that says, don't bring your patient here. So the drivers, the paramedics, they have to call our dispatch center and find out who is accepting patients, and it all depends on how much of an emergency it is on where they take the patient. I mean, we've gone to Oneonta a little bit because they've had less of laybacks. So it's tough right now.
Yeah, and there's a lot of conversations happening. You have this type of treatment where if an ambulance goes to someone's house, they can contact the doctor right from there and maybe not have to take an ambulance ride. How's that working out? Have you guys been using it a lot?
I've spoken to our director, and I said to her, I said, we should probably start using that more often, seeing we have it available,
mm-hmm.
and maybe that'll save us from sitting out at the hospital for 2 or 3 hours just to drop the patient off. And the problem with that is once we sit somewheres, or Ashland sits somewheres, or Hunter, or even Carol, then we lose our backup systems because they become the primary ambulance for a bigger district because there's not the turnover. So it's tough.
And it's an issue. I know quite a few people in that business, and it's not a problem that's going to go away today or tomorrow. This is going to really probably create a lot of conversation and maybe some changes in the whole system.
And what happens on the switchover for when the day shift takes over for the night shift or vice versa, it creates a backlog as well. You know, we'll have one rig on the road that's sitting in a parking lot waiting to drop off the patient. And then the other people are coming in for the shift, and one of them may be on a 12-hour shift, and the other one's on a 24-hour shift. So they're at the building in the other rig to go do the service for the community, but their partner's still in the rig at the parking lot down in Hudson.
Sure.
So then we have to call a backup person, have someone temporary come in there to fill a partial shift. God forbid we need the ambulance, that we have an ambulance to send to somebody's home.
And it's something that most of us wouldn't think about because we're not in the field, but it's a very, very relevant issue going on throughout the county and actually throughout the country. So now we flip to Labor Day weekend, and town was pretty busy.
Yeah, it was pretty busy. Myself, I spent Saturday evening at the Center Church at the Larry Tompkins slideshow.
You went, huh?
And I went, and I sat next to my ex-boss, Gary Slutsky, and we watched the slideshow, and as always, Larry did a stand-up job.
He's unbelievable, isn't he?
Yeah, and I even ventured back Sunday and spent 2 hours in there looking at the old newspaper clippings and photos and postcards that he's got labeled so you know what you're looking at, and it was a good time.
Well, he told me a little story about he has a lot of pictures of Edwin Mulberry, who became a doctor in Wyndham, and he has pictures when he was a little kid, And then, so he's showing these pictures at a slideshow, and the doctor is sitting there with his wife, and he's in his 90s, and he looks at the photo and asks his wife, isn't that me up there? So, I mean, that's the kind of stuff that is just priceless for these kind of shows Larry gives.
It's amazing on how Wyndham is the same Wyndham in a lot of aspects that it was 200 years ago or 150 years ago with the photos that Larry has in his collection. A lot of the homes have stayed. They may have added a little wing or taken a porch off or added a porch, but they're pretty much the same structures that were there way back in time.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive when you go on Main Street. A lot of the same buildings are there, different faces, but the town hasn't changed all that much, really, when you come right down to it.
It's also, you know, he had some pictures of some flood damage back in the turn of the century and some in the 60s, and, you know, the same areas you have problems today, they had problems 200 years ago.
Yeah, pretty crazy. And you know, to me, it's relevant, too, because the town is now going through a thing with the comprehensive plan and talks about all kinds of zoning and the noise law you mentioned. So the town keeps changing, and yet it somehow folks want to keep it the same, and that's what all these things are all about, that the town board and the planning board are in the process, and this new advisory committee, that's what it's all about.
Yeah, but it's weird if you look back at the population for the town of Wyndham.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the late 1800s, early 1900s, the population for Wyndham was in the 3,000s. We rode that for about 30, 40 years, and then it dropped to where we've sustained it since that time at like 1,700 to 1,800 people. But then it blossoms to, you know, with 10,000 on the busy holiday weekend during ski season. So it's an up and down residence now compared to in the past where it was a constant.
Okay, Mr. Fink, you got anything to add?
Well, Larry is very adamant about making sure that his collection, when he's gone, that it is in a safe place.
Yeah.
And I guess that will eventually be with the Greene County Historical Society.
In fact, let me close on that. So, Mr. Hoyt, we appreciate you being here, as always. The town board meeting is Thursday night, 7 p.m. A lot to talk about and maybe some surprises. Thank you, as always, sir.
Thanks, yep,
Tom.
Have a good one.
Okay.
Yep. Bye.